Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Kelly Johnson, the country manager at ESET, a global award-winning cybersecurity company, which provides complete protection without compromise for all of your devices. And Kelly, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's great to be here.
Yeah, certainly great to have you out and looking forward to learning a few things and being alerted on a few things that we should be taking action on. So first of all, tell us about ESET's threat report and the key findings. Let's start things off with that today.
Sure, will do. So look, ESET is at the forefront of cybersecurity research. We've got hundreds of experts in our 13 research and development centers all around the world. We're very busy every day tracking and reporting on threats. And this report that we have is our threat report comes out 3 times a year. And it is a collection of data and trends and threat findings that the ESET Global Research collate, summarizing key statistics from ESET's detection systems and highlighting notable examples of ESET's cybersecurity research. We have over 1 billion users every day that tap into ESET products. And the reason we have such a high number is that we're partnered with Google. And if you use Google Play or Google Chrome, you're tapping in at some point in there. And that all that data comes to us, and we're able to detect threats through all that data, which is very powerful. The latest issue of our threat report recounts the various cyber attacks connected really to the ongoing war in Ukraine that ESET researchers helped to mitigate. Now, this includes the resurrection of one of the findings that we found was the infamous InDestroyer malware. And what that does is it attempts to target high voltage electrical substations. Now, we were able to detect that ahead of time, which was helpful. And so that's really, if I would say about our threat report, is really tracking the trends that are going on around the world. And actually looking at, when I talk about some statistics today, I'll talk about threats going up or down and those trends. And that is really based on the last report that we did at the end of 2021. So just to keep that in perspective. So our overall threat detections, some interesting statistics and trends that I can share with you are that the largest increase that we saw in the beginning of this year was around downloaders. And we also saw increases in the overall threat detections. We also saw info stealers go up, email threats, and Android threats. Now, interestingly, we saw ransomware go down just a bit by 4.3%, and we saw cryptocurrency threats also go down by 29%. And RDP attacks went down, which is interesting because they've been up over the last 2 years significantly, remote desktop protocol. And that is due to a lot of people working from home and having that remote access to their company's infrastructure. And that's gone down significantly. We believe that the turn has been more towards this geopolitical landscape that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, certainly appreciate the update on the threat report and your key findings there. That's a good place certainly to get things kicked off here today. Now, tell us about the trends and threats that shape the cybersecurity landscape so far this year in 2022.
Yeah, so you know, like I mentioned, the cyber conflict in Ukraine dominated the start of 22. And the threat landscape this year is interesting, showing an increase also in email phishing and threats. And the next big trend, which I mentioned, was the downloader agents. Now, that's up by 829%. And this is dominated by the recent Emotet campaign. Shortly before the Russian invasion, ESET telemetry recorded one of two sharp drops in the remote desktop protocol attacks. Now, this decline in these attacks comes after 2 years of constant growth. And even with this fall, almost 60% of these attacks, or the RDP attacks, came from Russia. which we found very interesting. The other side of the effect of the war, well, in the past, ransomware threats tended to avoid targets located in Russia. But in this period in 22, according to our telemetry, Russia was the top targeted country. Now, this sounds a bit cheeky, as they say, but even we detected a lock screen variant. So come into the computer and lock your screen, targeted into Russia using the Ukrainian national salute, which is Slava Ukraini, which means glory to Ukraine. So they're tapping in and putting these things on these computers. Now, surprisingly, the war has also been noticeably exploited by spam and phishing threats. Immediately after the invasion on the 24th of February, scammers started to take advantage of people trying to support Ukraine using fictitious charities and fundraisers as lures. And on that day, we detected a huge spike in spam detections. And this will continue, we believe, this year.
Yeah, certainly a lot going on with the Ukrainian-Russian war in regards to cybersecurity for sure. Now, what are some of the most impactful attacks that were connected to the war and were discovered and thwarted by ESET research? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, thank you. So I think it's important to also note that ESET is a European-based cybersecurity company. They're headquartered in Slovakia. They are very close to the conflict, obviously their neighbors. But it's also important to note that ESET is the number one antivirus software company in Europe, and I believe they're number two in Russia. So there's a lot of data in there. They're closer than any other company in the world to really be on top of these threats. So an example, one of the most impactful things that happened was we found the sophistication of what's called in Destroyer 2. And this is due to an industrial control system malware. Now, it had been re-emerged after 5 years, after the first use was seen when it took down a power grids. Now, ESET's team was able to work with a CERT UA company, and the attack was successfully stopped. So we did see a lot of infrastructure threats coming into the Ukraine in the beginning. On the eve of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and this is interesting because we knew something was going to happen, obviously, around the world, but we didn't know when exactly it would happen. So the ESET researchers discovered a new data wiper malware deployed in the Ukraine on that day, so on the eve of the invasion, which was installed on hundreds of machines in at least 5 organizations in the country. The attack came just hours after a series of distributed denial of service onslaughts that knocked several important Ukrainian websites offline. The data wiper was first spotted just before 5 o'clock local time on the 23rd of February, and then the ESET researchers stayed up late that night analyzing the malware, and they published it. Now, we publish a lot of these immediate findings on Twitter, so if you follow us on Twitter, you can be in the loop on that. But we didn't know what global media coverage would come the next morning as breaking news. So it's interesting to see that they attacked on a cyber level before they went in. Igor Kabinya is our senior detection engineer, but he made a comment and he said, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we've observed an increased number of amateurish ransomware and wipers. Their authors often pledge support for one side or the other and make attacks as an act of personal vendetta. And what's interesting is that the pro-Ukrainian variants outnumber the pro-Russian ones by a small margin. So we expect these attacks supporting a particular side to continue in the upcoming months and even escalate as ideology and war propaganda are becoming the central driving forces for their spread. So, you know, we continue to monitor these things and report on those. The other interesting part is the Russian invasion also brought an influx of phishing and scam campaigns attempting to take advantage of people trying to support Ukraine during the war. You know, you might get an email saying, oh, you know, donate and help us and that type of thing. And most commonly, these campaigns used fictitious charities and fundraisers as lures. The first fraudulent domains exploiting the war started to crop up almost immediately after the start of the invasion. So ESET's done a lot to help. They've donated €1 million over to UNICEF. They're very active and volunteering in food distribution and taking in refugees and so on. So they're very, you know, supportive in the humanitarian side of things. And they're also providing research and insights to many of the European and global bodies endeavoring to address, resolve, and mitigate the cyber threats coming from Russia-Ukraine war. And our threat report represents only a fraction of these findings. It's important to note also that the cyber attacks related to the war are not directed only against government bodies, but they're also against businesses and the general public in Ukraine. So we have several examples of those that we share. We also have a threat intelligence report that you can subscribe to if you want to really get those reports coming through. And those reports, you know, they're in-depth, they're up-to-date global knowledge about specific threats and attacks. And traditionally, it's difficult for anyone running a cybersecurity practice to detect for security engineers because they access really information only within their own networks instead of the global information. So that's available.
Really, really interesting, and really appreciate the thorough response there and a lot of great information so far. Today, we're joined by Kelly Johnson, the country manager at ESET, a global award-winning cybersecurity company, which provides complete protection without compromise for all of your devices here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, another question for you. The report also summarizes the various recent findings from ESET research labs and features highlights from ESET investigations into operations by various APT groups. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I'll start with what's APT, because not everybody knows, but they're advanced persistent threat groups that exist out there that we can see trends around, whether they're, merging into different areas of focus. And we continually monitor these ATP groups. We track their campaigns and we investigate all their approaches. There's a group called Watering Hole, and it deploys new Mac OS malware called Dazzle Spy. Now in Asia, our ESET researchers discovered that the website of the Hong Kong pro-democracy radio station, D100, was compromised. And it was to serve a Safari exploit that installed cyber espionage malware on their site visitors' Macs, unbeknownst to them. Now, the website delivered the new macOS malware that was named Dazzle Spy. And in order to gain code execution in the browser, the attacks used an exploit that had more than 1,000 lines of code. So very sophisticated. Some parts of the code suggest that the vulnerability could also have been exploited on iOS and even on devices such as the iPhone XS and newer. Dazzle Spy was used for cyber espionage, which with its targets probably being politically active pro-democracy individuals in Hong Kong. This malware can detect information about compromised computer. It can search for specified files, and it can scan files in the desktop, downloads, and document folders. It can execute the supplied shell commands, and it can start or end a remote screen session. And it can write a supplied file to a disk. So it's pretty serious stuff. So because of the complexity of these used in this campaign, we found that the group behind this operation has a very strong technical capabilities. This campaign has similarities to one from 2020, where LightSpy iOS malware was distributed in the same way using iframe injection on websites for Hong Kong citizens, leading to a WebKit exploit. So we cannot confirm at this point whether both campaigns were carried out by the same group, but these things are happening. And I always advise everyone, turn off your webcam when you're, you know, put your little protector screen over your camera when you're not using your video.
Well, again, this has certainly been interesting and informational, insightful, and eye-opening, no doubt. Every time we bring on someone that's an expert in cybersecurity and is in that industry, we just hear stuff that's just eye-opening and jaw-dropping for sure. As we conclude, Kelly, I see from the report email threats have gone up nearly 37%. Can you tell us about this and what our audience should be looking out for in these regards as we conclude today?
Absolutely. So, and you know, there's always some good advice as to how to stay safe online. We pride ourselves on sharing a lot of information about that. not only through, you know, protection through our products, but also we have a Safer Kids Online website for kids, parents, and teachers. And that's a very powerful site to educate the young people around, you know, how they can stay safe online. But email threats have gone up, and that's not only just general email things, but things that are really around travel and gaming is actually up a lot as well. Threats within the game. So you'll have a pop-up within a game that you're playing, and that will be actual phishing. And they're masquerading as email services and gaming platforms. These went up hugely. Gaming went up 291%. Threats within games. So just be really careful around that. They impersonate marketplaces for various online games. So a game within a game, if you will. Some of the things that I would say is also a similar trend is the rising of travel-themed lures that was also noted in email threats, presumably the result of the lifting pandemic travel restrictions. So there's things like Airbnb copycats, often residing as deceptive domains. So always look at the domain of the email that you're seeing, because what we found was you'll see Airbnb in the domain name, and you'll think, well, that looks right. And then it will say .com, but then it will say ., and then it'll either have a couple other characters after that, but it's not just ending at .com. So pay special attention to those. You know, you pay for your Airbnb, and then it's not really an Airbnb, and your money's gone. So, you know, be very mindful. Also, look at the email addresses. Don't open any attachment that you're not expecting to receive. You know, the March email threat peak was driven by mass scale email campaigns that we also noted. Now, the notorious one called Emotet, it relied on malicious Microsoft Word documents. Those are detected as variants of a Trojan downloader. So these will spring up in email inboxes, and that went up. Those particular threats went up 829% compared to the end of last year. Now, beyond the usual topics of malicious email subjects, such as, you know, payment, order, delivery, you have a delivery coming, that type of thing, which remain largely unchanged, there was a noticeable increase in malicious travel themed ones as well, which I mentioned earlier. And, you know, as the travel has opened up around the globe and deals are on offer, they're very attractive for users to open up. So be very careful. Now, some other things I'll say to watch out for is emails can be very well crafted. They may look and feel legit, but take your time and actually look at it before you open it up. And links that may be similar to the real domain are also things to watch out for. These criminals are getting very sophisticated. They're sending invoice requests, for example. It could be looks like one of your customers with their logo on the invoice. But just make sure that you know that you're expecting that. And don't be afraid to question it and pick up the phone and call and say, you know, did you send me an invoice? Because I've just received this. And, you know, just to validate what's coming through. There's also, they're very psychologically good in creating an urgency to click or do something when they send something through, you know, order, you only have 5 more minutes or whatever their hook is usually very suspect. And then credential and identity capture through the email is also, you know, a big red flag. Just make sure that when they're asking for your credentials or some personal information through email, that this is something that you make sure is true. I know he sounds paranoid, but it's so much better to be paranoid than to be sorry and have all your money gone. So keep yourself informed on all these things. We have a really good global website, and it's actually a security blog website called welivesecurity.com. And there's all things security up there. There's videos, there's articles, that's where you can find copies of our threat reports as well if you want to deep dive into more information around it. And you know, keep yourself informed and stay safe.
Certainly keeping informed is the key, and you've done a very good job informing our audience here today. You mentioned the website several times. Hit that website where listeners can not only be in touch, but to get further details as well.
So you can globally, you can just check out our website. It's www.eset.com. Go to your respective country, and our products, information, our We Live Security links are all in there as well, as well as the ESET Threat Intelligence Service that you can subscribe to.
And again, Kelly, thanks so much. Again, listeners, for more details, visit ESET.com. Kelly, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks very much, Eric. Stay safe. Take care.
And thank you, and you as well. We've been speaking with Kelly Johnson, the country manager at ESET, a global award-winning cybersecurity company which provides complete protection without compromise for all of your devices. And for further details, visit ESET.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.